Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. What's going on, all my authentic persuaders out there? Welcome to another episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. This is episode 344. We're now into December 2020. Excited to see how the rest of this year ends because it's been quite an interesting one. And then always holding hope for both the end of this year as well as 2021, no matter what, in the same way that I know that we all had hopes and plans and goals and big things planned for 2020. And so go into that next year. Now, what I want to do in today's episode is something I haven't really done before in all of the podcast episodes, especially the ones where it's kind of a solo. It's just me talking. It's you listening. Hopefully you're getting some value if it applies with you, if it resonates. Now, 2 days ago, episode 342, I talked about toxic sales reps. And it was, I don't know, afterwards when I got done, I was like, oh my gosh, should I send this? Of course, that would be authentic. But it was definitely me on a soapbox from a management leadership coaching standpoint with the frustration that I have and see with organizations who tolerate toxic reps. So that message, episode 342, if you didn't catch it, was all about the toxic sales rep, but what managers, leaders, business owners can, and in my opinion, I don't use this word much, but should do depending on what they want for their company. And so that's the big thing. Now, what I wanted to do in today's episode is I actually want to talk to you if you think that you're one of those toxic sales reps that I was talking about. Now, what's a toxic sales rep to me? Just to give you a recap, it is somebody who's generally, and again, this is over 18 years of dealing with salespeople in multiple organizations, multiple verticals, face-to-face, over the phone, business-to-business, business to consumer, yet so many different things as my sample size. And so a toxic sales rep to me is somebody who is generally self-centered 100%. It's all about them. They're focused on their own things. They feel that because of their results, because of their effectiveness in sales, that they deserve to do whatever they want. They generally feel entitled to whatever they think is the right way to go, either working, not working, showing up, not showing up, working as much or as little, doing tasks. A lot of times where this shows up is a salesperson who feels entitled and enabled, and they want to just do the conversations and don't want to do anything else. They don't want to enter anything into a CRM. They don't want to fill out forms. They don't want to fill out quotes or invoices. They don't want to do any follow-up. They don't want to fill out what's needed in order for the sales to be consummated and move forward. They essentially want everyone else to serve them because they've gotten to a place in their mind where their talent and ability is the conversations and convincing people to move forward, and everyone else is to serve them outside of that. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying those things are necessarily wrong. I mean, when you reach a certain level in any professional skill that you have, the best thing you can do is maximize your time and energy into the things that are most profitable and valuable to others, right? Profitable for you, valuable to others, and do that thing, right? So if you're really effective, let's say a doctor, right? They're spending all of their time in surgery, right? They're not prepping. They're not cleaning equipment. They're not prepping the operating room. They're not prepping the patient and checking all the vitals. They're not even doing the stuff afterwards other than checking in and managing what they need to. They want to just show up, do the surgery that they prepared for, they're ready for mentally and with that patient, do that surgery and then move on. And that's their highest and best use. That's their value. So in sales, I support that completely. When you get to the point where you can be the one who's having the conversations and you have other people supporting you and helping you with the admin, the paperwork, whatever that is, that's fantastic. It really comes down to the attitude. Do you expect that? And do you require the company to provide that for you? Or have you earned it? And then you're willing to do it as a leader, and then people want to be a part of that. It's two different things. And so this toxic sales rep is not something I see as something that's set for life. Same thing when I use the term order taker. That's not a negative connotation that I see, and I'm just going to label somebody with that and they're stuck in that forever. That's just a state. That's just the current place where they are in their selling effectiveness as an order taker. Same things if you're a toxic sales rep. That's just where you are currently. I honestly feel anybody can change anything at any moment. And so the toxic sales rep, if this is you, or you know someone like this, generally what happens is they don't want to follow the rules. They don't want to follow the processes. Anytime that there's something that's coming down from management or ownership about something that needs to be changed, then what happens is they throw a fit. Maybe this happens to you. Now, nobody likes change. Some people tolerate it better than others. Some people like it. Some people are okay with it, but no one truly, truly wants change and enjoys it at that level. We as humans just want things to stay the same, right? We want to know what's stable, know what's safe, know what works. And that's usually what happens, is that lack of the desire to change, the resistance to change, causes this toxic kind of relationship. And what happens is, because that salesperson thinks they are doing so much in sales and they've achieved a certain level, or they're generating so much revenue, then they can write their own ticket. They can do whatever they want, and they can create the rules around them or limit the rules from applying to them. Now, if that's you, then first off, congratulations. It's awesome. If you're listening to this and you haven't deleted this episode and unsubscribed completely because you think I'm nuts, but you're listening to this, congratulations, because that is the first step, is realizing, hey, maybe this applies to me. Maybe I am this person that Jason's talking about. Maybe I do that and I react a certain way. Maybe I am toxic and kind of self-centered and entitled, and I feel like everything revolves around me. If you got that from this, congratulations. Like, if nothing else, at least you're aware of it, and then you can start to change it. It's not going to be instant. And here's what I'll tell you, is I know that I know from my own sake, is that I used to be some version of this, especially as a toxic person, because I was a only child. I still am an only child, but I was only child in the sense that everything kind of revolved around me. Now, I wasn't spoiled. We didn't have a lot as a kid. My parents did a great job not letting me feel spoiled and entitled and not tolerating any crap. Like, I wasn't that spoiled kid in the store who would throw a fit if I didn't get something. I mean, my mom's general rule, and I think it still applies, although I haven't tested it. I don't know if I've ever tested it, but her general rule was, if you embarrass me in public, I will embarrass you in public. And I knew that she would. And so I didn't want that. So I didn't throw a fit. Now, what happened when I got older and later on in life is I got more self-centered with what I wanted. When I wanted something, I wanted it. Now, when I worked at a restaurant, for example, and I was waiting tables, I wanted all the good shifts. I wanted everyone to leave. I wanted to dominate everything I could to make as much money as I could in tips and work as much, because that's what I was driven by. And I was kind of self-centered. I wasn't nice about it. I wasn't kind to my coworkers regarding shifts. I wanted all the good shifts and I didn't want all the crappy shifts. And I wasn't nice about it. And I realized it years later and was like, wow, I'm kind of a self-centered ass sometimes when I get into this like selfish me mode where I feel like I want something and I don't care. And so I've done a lot of work to get past that. And sometimes to the other extreme where I'm just like, I literally don't care and it will always work out. Now, if that's you and you can relate to this, here's some things to do. First thing, obviously, is to identify it and understand that that's you and you have that mode. The second thing is, if you can, and this one's tough, but if you can, figure out where this might be coming from. Is there something that happened when you were a kid? Usually what happens is somebody is created like this, nature versus nurture, but the nurture side, where somebody is spoiled and entitled because of them, like maybe they're the baby in the family, or they're an only child, or something happened and they're that. Or what happens on the other end is they weren't the baby, they were the middle child, or they weren't spoiled and they're mad about it. And now they want that, right? And so now they're reacting, because now it's like, I've got to take it. If I want it in the world, I have to take it at the cost of anyone around me, which I'm telling you is a rough way to live. And it's also not good for both your career and then also for your customers, because generally what happens is you're going to make sales in ways that aren't necessarily good long term. It's not the way to go, in my opinion, if it's not done with a positive intent for everybody involved, you, the company, and the customers. And so realize that, figure out where it's coming from and what triggers that for you, what's triggering that every day, and what that might be. Sometimes it's scarcity. Sometimes people are living in a short-term scarcity. scarcity because of what's going on in their life. Sometimes it's a perpetual scarcity and a perpetual worry about not having enough. So it's like hoarding all these things and you got to grab it all for yourself at everyone else's expense. And so where is that coming from? That's the main key. And then the next part is, and this is where I really suggest an important shift, especially as an employee of a company. If you're part of a team, and this is something I didn't mention in the episode 342 to the managers and leaders, but this is a great quote to live by and help shifting your framework. What you want to do is you want to marry the vision and date the strategy. Now, what does that mean other than sounding catchy? Marry the vision, date the strategy. Marry the vision means we want to marry where we want to go. Where do we want to get to? Let's use a good example. I want to go from California to New York on a road trip. Vision, New York. Vision, New York City. That's where I want to get to. I know exactly where I want to go. I want to be at this place, hopefully by this time, pending anything that might come up, right? So that's my plan, maybe some contingencies. That's the vision. Where do I want to go with my road trip, with my business, with my career, with my sales team, with my individual finances, whatever that is. Marry that vision. Where do I want to get to? And then the other part is date the strategy, which if you're a salesperson and a part of an organization and you're not all by yourself, then the strategy is going to be wherever the company needs to go to get to that vision, whatever needs to be done. Is it a new CRM that the owner thinks is important? Is it a new process? Is it a new accountability system? Is it a new comp plan? Whatever that is, you've got to trust that a business owner knows what they're doing. They're in the business of making money and having a successful company and growing it and supporting all their employees. Unless you work for someone who's just an idiot about business, they know what they're doing. And so instead of questioning them as a salesperson on their team or even a manager on their team, instead of questioning them, trust that they know where they're going. They've married their vision. And you, on your own world, in your own sales career, marry your vision of where you're going. And if for some reason it's not a good fit, that's a whole different conversation. But as long as you're married to that, then date the strategy. If today's about these leads and next week is about those leads, you've got to trust that it makes sense and you've got to be willing to try it. And if we go back to our road trip example, I want to go to California. Go from California to New York. That's the vision. I'm going to marry the vision. I want to be in New York City, let's say New Year's Eve, watch the ball drop if that's still legal, right? Now, the strategy is how I get there. Do I take this road or that road? And what if I get a flat tire? What if there's construction? We have to take a detour. What if I want to go see the world's largest ball of twine, right? Like those are the strategies. You're dating the strategies. So you're going to date the strategy as long as it works. And then we're going to date this strategy. And then we're going to date this strategy. And then we're going to date this strategy. But we're married to the vision. I will tell you, if you as a toxic or struggling sales rep, where you're struggling to do what you're asked, to do what the company needs, and to play well with others, let's just call it what it is, play well with others. If that's for you, I would challenge you to look at what vision you have for yourself and what the company has and marry that vision, especially if you can marry the company's vision and then date the strategies and remove the attachment to specific strategies and just look at the vision and winning as a whole. And that will help reduce and a lot of that resistance to change and eliminate that so that you can then be okay with it, right? And not excited about it, not looking forward to it, not showing up Monday and go, I wonder what my boss is going to change this week. Like, no, but if change happens, it's either because the market is causing it or the ownership is seeing that they need the change and it's always for the betterment of the company. And if it's not, I promise you, it won't work out and either the strategy will change back or you'll go find a different strategy, a different vision, something else to be a part of. But hopefully this helps you. So remember, marry the vision, date the strategy, and go with that process. Now, if you want some help, if you're struggling with that, if you know you have the sales skills, if you have the chops, if you know that you're successful and you want to be successful wherever you're selling, but you're having trouble with this part, right? You're having trouble removing your desire to have the world revolve around you and you want to play well with others and you want to uplift everyone around you. You want to be a great team player and you just want to feel better mentally because I know that if you're in this category, it's not a good feeling in your head. It's constantly a battle. It's constantly a rub of you versus them, you versus the world. If you want help with that, if you want to talk about it, if you want some support and moving past that, you want some mentorship and coaching, go to Vox with jason.com and get on the Voxer app, send me a Vox message, and then let's chat about it and see if my coaching and mentoring program could help you, or maybe if there's some guidance or some things I can suggest for you to do. So that's it for this episode. Thanks again for joining me, and I will catch you on the next conversation about authentic persuasion. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.